Hello, welcome. You are listening to Not Crazy, But Far From Sane. I'm your host, Megan Bell. I'm going to be completely real, just completely real and honest. I have sat here for the last almost 45 minutes trying to record this episode, but whether it be Tito peeping in the background, whether it be me stumbling on my words, or I don't know. And so now I was just kind of getting hot and frustrated. And honestly, this is a good segue for me to talk about whenever I get like my whole body reacts sometimes. Like I get physiological body responses. I think that's the right word. Physiological. So I get hot, I get red or like flushed. And I like have to take a deep breath and calm down because it's almost like I've been trying to do this for the time that I had allowed myself for the week or for right now, at least because of school and everything else, right? And when it doesn't work, I get really frustrated. And whenever I get frustrated as a person, my whole body reacts. And so I just got to like take it slow. So it's really odd that this is happening right now because I also was wondering, well, what the fuck am I going to talk about in my episode today? Because there's just, I don't know. I like telling stories, but the story that I've been going through recently is not something I want to share right now. I don't have all the words for it. I don't want to be disrespectful to the person either because I do still care about them. And yeah, but basically I am single and that's what I've been going through for the past 2.5 weeks or so. So I haven't really wanted to sit here and record. I needed to just take care of me and do other stuff for me before putting it in out there, right? So I know this episode was technically supposed to be a dance episode. That's what I had said in my last one. I'm going to be real about that too. Why lie? Joan and I did record an episode. We also filmed it because we're going to upload it on YouTube. It's going to be a whole thing, right? But it's a rough draft. The version that we've already done is a super rough draft. We learned a lot. We learned what we need to do, what we need to not do. And it's going to happen. It just, there's been other things that have been happening too in both of our lives that, I mean, have halted that that episode, but it will happen, I promise you, because we do have a lot to say, and she and I make a really good team, I will say. I've always wanted to work with her in some way and do some sort of creative outlet with Joan. I've actually been part of, she's made like a short video before, short movie, if you will, when she was actually going through a hard time, and she used making videos as an outlet. And that was really fun, actually. So I've always really wanted to work with Joan in a creative way. So I know that this is going to happen. It's just right now wasn't the time. And you can't force anything. Just like this episode can't be forced. I just had to like speak to you all about truly what's going on in this very real moment. Jumping back to what I just said about the physiological body responses, I was in therapy a couple weeks ago. This was actually Friday, January 27th. I'm looking at my notes right now. So a couple days after my last episode I recorded. So I've really just kind of been focusing on me being in therapy, doing my stuff, taking care of the stuff I need to take care of for my home, like, you know, whatnot, right? Just putting me first in all ways. Which has been very rewarding, I will say. But so when I feel something, like, okay, so this is, it's hard to put it into words when you're not a therapist who knows like the technical terms and definitions for everything. But let me look over this really quick and just see. So it's your autonomic nervous system. And what my note says, it's SNS versus PNS. So I'm just going to Google what the fuck that is. Huh. It says resume your journey, SNS versus PNS. So I guess I looked this up before. The parasympathetic nervous system, PNS, controls homeostasis in the body at rest and is responsible for the body's rest and digest function. The sympathetic nervous system, SNS, controls the body's responses to a perceived threat and is responsible for the fight or flight. So I guess mine battle each other, and you have to take, well, most people's tend to, but you have to take like a deep breath. And that's what I had to do at the beginning of the episode. It was like everything was just kind of going wrong. And like, it's 11:13 right now. I'm supposed to be leaving my house pretty soon to go to an appointment I have at 12 o'clock. So I'm just, yeah, whenever I feel defeated or like something's just not going my way, but I've been patient and I've been trying all which ways to make it work, I then, yeah, my body will just get hot. It takes over my entire body. And when I was in therapy on that Friday, the 27th, talking to my therapist about it, you know, because he can see it happen. So he'll be like, what's coming up for you right now? Like, what's going on? And I'm like, oh shit, like you can actually see, like he'll physically see me get like hot and sweaty, or like my face will get like red. And it's interesting. He told me that doesn't happen to too many of his, like he doesn't see that too often. So it was something for me to at least be mindful of, that like to just take deep breaths and slow it down. Like that's my body's way of talking to me and saying that, you know, too much is going on basically. So one of my notes says, sympathetically aroused and more passionate. That's what, how he described, I guess, me as like a person, is I am a much more passionate and fiery person. And I have a lot of like emotions and feelings, and it tends to, I guess, come with needing to regulate your shit more frequently. So yeah, I've been really working on my therapy and taking note when that happens and not letting it spin out of control, because that's when you can get panic attacks and have like full-on anxiety attacks. You have to just listen to the cues that your body is telling you. Like sometimes I'll just get like chills and goosebumps, but then I'll also feel like a hot flash, and it'll feel like my heart is like fucking beating incredibly quick, and you just have to be like, okay, I'm fine. Take a deep breath. Everybody's okay. You're not hurt. No small kids are hurt around you. Like you're okay, which is actually something my dad would always tell me to calm me down. Like growing up, he'd be like, it's okay. Like no small children got hurt. And like that would honestly, like he wouldn't tell it to me right away. He'd let me be able to like feel my feelings. But if I would full on be having like a anxiety attack when I was younger, he would be like, hey, it's all right. You know, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. And he's got a point. It's just all about learning how to regulate. And it's technically, it's very hard unless you have somebody to speak to frequently and or you know how to deal with it. One of my notes says, hold on. Connect or protect. I don't know why I wrote that, but I like that. Connect or protect. And it says S and S is, so Sarah, is that the, no, that's the, so that's the sympathetic nervous system is down. You can activate the parasympathetic nervous system. So it's all about fucking regulating, and that's difficult. So yeah, let's just jump into how I've been spending some of my time, which the first, okay, so yeah, I ended up going, all right, well, when it rains, it pours, let's just put it that way, because the Friday that we split up, I ended up having therapy that day. I also, when I came home, there was this woman who was kind of like pacing in front of my driveway, but not like right in front of it. It was broad daylight. I mean, it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. She was wearing pajamas. She was carrying her shoes and she was wearing socks, just pacing up and down like the street kind of. And I pull in my driveway and I get out and she's standing at the end of my driveway. And she's like, and she's keeping her distance. And I was on the phone with Joan at this point. And she's like, excuse me, can you call 911 for me? Or can I use your phone to call 911? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. I was like, are you okay? She was like, well, no, this guy that I've been staying with, he just kicked me out and he won't give me any of my my stuff, like my phone, anything. And she was like, my mom just sent me $300 and it's on my phone. And he knows my password to my phone and he won't give me my stuff back. I'm like, what the fuck? She's like, yeah, I've been staying there for 2 months. And well, he brought this other girl back this morning and he then just kicked me out. I was like, what the fuck? I don't know. She was talking about how he wanted to like score some drugs from this girl or whatever. But I was just like trying not to listen too much. I was just more making sure that, okay, she's okay. So we used my phone. We called the cops. The cops were there really fast. Very, very fast. Like, I don't think this is the first time that they've been called on that house. But I took a photo of them from far away, of literally the cops standing outside making this guy give this woman her shit back. Like, it just felt so very childish, like in pre-K when somebody stole your toy and you had to tattletale on them. And then, like, the teacher's, like, got her hands on her hips pointing, being like, no, Bobby, you have to give that back to Sarah. That is seriously what it looked like outside my window. So I snapped a picture of this guy handing this woman back like her jacket or whatever, with two police officers standing there making sure he does it. It was just, that happened. I also had a family member in the hospital. They're fine now. They had really high blood pressure. And so it was just like, that was all on one Friday. I think that was February 2nd. If February 2nd was a Friday. No, February 3rd. Because February 2nd was a Thursday. Sorry. If you should know by now, I'm weird with dates. So yeah, it was Friday, February 3rd. And yeah. So that happened. And then, so I'm glad the girl got her stuff back. I went to the hospital, met my family member there. Family member's, you know, good. My family member was, I think, more concerned about me for what I was going through in my life. That's my timer for me to basically throw shoes on and head out the door. But I'm in the middle of this episode. That seems to be going well. I'm just going to have to make a note of where I'm at. And when I come back, I'm just going to have to pick it up. So actually, I probably have a couple more minutes. Anyway, so no, that's a good place to stop for now. And I'll come back and I'll just talk about going out of town with Joan. That's what we'll talk about. Okay. Talk to you soon. All right. I am back. I am feeling a lot more cheeky than I was earlier, but that's always because the girl I get waxed by, her name's Cece. She's awesome. She always just, I don't know, makes me feel a lot better. And I love chatting with her. I go get waxed at this place called The Wax Bar here in San Antonio. And they've got a couple different locations. But they just, I don't know. They're very personable. They give you a shot before if you want. They have like a little bar set up, different liquors to choose from. It's very, very chill and something that is kind of painful. They make pretty painless. So I really like it. Yeah. Very different from my first wax experience, which let me just real quick tell you about. I went to one of the chain waxing places, probably like Waxing the City or whatever, and which I just don't recommend personally. And let's just say my cousin Jane took one for the team and went down there with tweezers afterwards and cleaned it up because it did not get waxed properly. That was my first experience, and I'm just glad that it didn't I'm glad that Jane told me this is not what it's supposed to be like, because I probably would have never elected to have a Brazilian again, but I've been doing it for 4 or 5 years now and I'm not looking back. I love it. Absolutely love it. So yeah, if you're a local here, I would definitely check out the Wax Bar. And if you're not, find a local spot where you are if waxing is your thing. But yeah, I just wanted to get that out there. But let's jump back to where the story originally was going, which was talking about going out of town to Joan's hometown with her that weekend, like February 3rd, 4th, whatever. So that was fun. We it was good. I honestly, like, I feel like part of me needed to get out of town, get away, do stuff outdoors. It had been very gray here for what seems like eternity. To me, whenever the sun is not shining, it feels like, even just for a couple of days, it feels like eternity to me. My serotonin doesn't do well in the gray. I bless people who live where it's like gray mostly. Like, I can't do that. I could not do that. So it was a gorgeous weekend that weekend. It was nice to get out, but part of me felt like it was too soon to just like be away and be like on the go so much when there was like these changes going on. And I just kind of wanted to be home and rooted with my dogs. But I love the saying, like, you get what you need, not what you want. Even though it was something I wanted to in the end, like, I wanted to go out and be with my friends and have fun. So that was good. Joan's uncle lives there, and we went. We went grocery shopping for him and for us. We were going to cook food that night and just have a chill Saturday evening out of town. And we go to the grocery store. We're checking out. And not a single one of us had our physical debit card or credit card, whatever, on us. Like, Joan asks her boyfriend David, she's like, "Hey, you have my card, right?" And he's like, "No, I don't have your card." And she's like, "Okay, well, where's your card?" And he's like, "I don't have my card." I honestly left my wallet at home. My excuse is that I switch between a backpack and a purse each, you know, depending on like if it's the weekend or the week. And it was just something that I forgot to grab. And they didn't take Apple Pay or whatever. So, I mean, so I have my card on my phone. So technologically involved, but no, I didn't have like a physical card on me. And so we're standing there, and there's like three HEB associates, which HEB is the grocery store where we live. And they're just staring at us like, you know, I'm like, "Oh, you guys don't have the little tappy thing? I can't tap my phone here." And they're like, "No, sorry." And I'm like, "Well, there's three adults here, and not a single one of us has a fucking card on us. So that's on us for sure." I kid you not. Our bill was $72. I had exactly $70 cash, and then Joan had a $5 bill on her. I will post the picture of my face walking out of HEB with my groceries. Yeah, I was flabbergasted. That has not really happened to me ever. Ever where I've not had like a form of like payment that I recall, that it was just like a oh shit moment, you know? So yeah, it was just it just added to like the chaos, you know? I'm like, how is it that I don't know. Anyway, moving forward. So we had a good time in Uvalde. I'm not gonna even finish that. I was trying my hardest not to say the town. It's not like anybody's gonna like, I mean, I'm not anybody. Like, y'all can know where we're going. I just, out of respect for these people who it's like their hometown, I try not to like mention certain things. So I'm glad that I didn't fully say the word, but you probably caught that. So moving forward, we left from her hometown and we went to my mom and stepdad's ranch for the day that Sunday. And that was really fun and nostalgic for me and her because she had not been out there since my 17th birthday, which was 13 years ago. So that was really fun to just spend the day out there and have all the memories come back from when we were teenagers being out there to where we're at now. You know, that was cool. It was fun and nice watching her socialize with my parents, who she doesn't see that side of my family too often. That's just always how it kind of has been. I mean, they've lived further out, and my dad's always lived closer into where like the school district was where I grew up. So my friends spent more time knowing my dad and my dad's house than they did my mom and my mom's house. So Joan holds a near and dear spot in my life, always and forever, just because she's been there through so many different things in my life. So it was cool going out there with her. We'll just say that. And that goes for all my other people in my life who have been there with me through everything. Like my cousin Jane, she's somebody who I hold very near and dear, who knows so much about me and my life from before. And it's really fun and awesome when you have, I don't know if those are the right adjectives, fun and awesome, but it's something about having people who've known you for a really long time and known all the different things you've gone through, and then them still be in your life. It's just, I don't know. I don't know if anybody else can relate to that or if that's just me, but there's something to be said. It's an incredibly special bond when you can reminisce with somebody from when you were a child and now you're an adult going through other shit. So, yeah, that's that. I will say though, actually, when we were at Joan's hometown, we had made a fire that night and it was pretty chill. We took like the smallest amount of mushrooms, like probably microdosing, I would say, at that point. Like not even enough to like I've took enough to where I'm like tripping, and then I've took enough to where like I took just the right amount where like the fireplace, like you can't take your eyes off of it because it's gorgeous. I don't know. And it's an older home. So there was we found this like there was a stereo there, like an old like Bose receiver type of thing. Not too old. I mean it was for CDs. So okay, old compared to now when we're all like with the iPhones and stuff. But somebody who grew up on CDs and burning CDs like all the time in high school, this was right up our alley. But the issue was is that we only had one CD for the whole night, unless we were gonna listen to Tejano music, which there's nothing wrong with that. It just wasn't the vibe that we were feeling on just wasn't. So we listened to the one fucking CD I had in my car that I bought last year, which was Midnights by Taylor Swift. And I can't now listen to any of those songs without thinking of that night. So there is that. But I will say I couldn't listen to her for all of last week, which is not that long, I guess. But when you have a CD in your car and you're listening to it pretty frequently, and then it's all you're listening to one night. Now I'm just going to associate it with that one night. So, which is not a bad association. Pretty awesome album to listen to on shrooms, not going to lie. Lots of different beats and vibes. But like I said, I didn't even feel like I was tripping. It was just a very relaxed amount after the week I had had. So it was good. I also wanted to talk about really quick just Valentine's chocolate. I'm just gonna segue right into Valentine's chocolate. Tell me why they give you duplicates of the nastiest flavor. Why? Why? It's always duplicates of like strawberry cream, vanilla cream. Just not good. Not like real candy, in my opinion. And you know, that might taste good to somebody who doesn't eat candy regularly. That might taste good, but I don't know. I just had to complain about it because I had a box of chocolates last night and all of the really good ones, there's only one of. And then the nasty ass ones that you have to like poke your finger in to see if you're gonna get that, like, I hope you know what I'm talking about. I'm sure you do if you've had a box of chocolates before. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get. Unless you look at the bottom of the packaging and it'll tell you what you're gonna get. So clearly Forrest Gump didn't do that. Anyway, yeah, it's been a few long weeks, but they've been really also good for me. It's been exactly what I've needed, which has been good. So I'm doing well. I'm giving you all thumbs up over here. Really, really great compared to, I mean, years past. I mean, okay, actually, let's look at the date, February 15th. On February 15th, 2018, I'm a whore for dates, as we know. I don't think I've ever mentioned this in any of my previous podcasts, but we're gonna mention it now. I was hanging out with my cousin Jane, so right on theme here about the people I'm talking about for that Valentine's. I was single. I don't know if she was single or she was in a long distance relationship. I'm not entirely sure on that. I think she was in a long distance relationship. Yeah. Okay, great. So we were spending it together. That's whenever she was finishing her degree here and I was finishing up my associate degree. So yeah, that's when we were spending a lot of time together during that time. And that was February 15th, actually the day before. So on Valentine's 2018, I had found out from Seth's ex-girlfriend that's how I found out that he had cheated on me. She hit me up through Instagram on Valentine's Day, a couple of months after he and I had broke up, like letting me know of all of the times that he was unfaithful. And then The very next day after that, on the 15th, I found out, or actually didn't find out, I was contacted by my ex-husband's, well, now it's his wife. So, and her name is Mia, by Mia's mother. She contacted me. I don't know if I've mentioned this on any of the other episodes, but I found it fitting to mention it now because today was, it's 5 years since all that's gone down. But she messaged me out of concern for her daughter. And the best and most simple way I can word all of this is that she was reaching out concerned about her daughter's safety and feeling like her daughter was being manipulated and or just, I don't even have like the right words because I don't want to misspeak, but she just knew something was off, and she figured that David had something to do with it. So she was reaching out to me to try to find information out about David. I don't think I was much help to her because she had already done a bunch of research and found out a lot of stuff about him. I think I may just like have filled in gaps for her, but that was a very strange time in my life to find out one day that the guy I was with after my husband or ex-husband, whatever, had cheated on me. And then the day after I'm reached out for that, it was just like, that's just like the theme. Like when something happens, a lot of shit happens. That's at least the theme in my life, which I would rather have it be that way than not. It keeps me on my toes. We'll just say that. And I did stay in touch with the mother for, I guess she and I were in touch two or three different times. And I think the third time that she had contacted me, I think I was just seriously over it. Because, I mean, what? If she's reaching out to me at the beginning of 2018, he and I had split at the end of 2016. So at that point, we'd already been done for a year and a half. Like, you know, it's not my issue. I'm sorry that your daughter is with that person. You know, it seemed like we were just there to kind of validate each other's experiences almost. Because what she was telling me was, I mean, I went through the same types of things. I felt very isolated from family. And it seems like that's what he was doing with her and her mother and driving a wedge. And yeah, so really weird, just weird shit. And so I entertained that idea a little bit of like helping her. I felt bad for her, for the mother, that is. And then after, like I said, after the third time of her contacting me, I just remember being like, okay, this is, you know, sorry, there's nothing I can do. I've already said what I've already told you everything that I possibly can. I don't know any more information. I'm not going to know any more information. And in fact, you reaching out to me further about this is just, I'm sorry, I'm not your person. And I wish I could help, but I can't. Like, there's nothing, like, no, it's not that I wish I could help. It's like, I can't help you. I'm sorry. Like, I got away from this person. I'm sorry that your daughter hasn't. That's kind of how I looked at it. I just couldn't be bombarded with messages anymore from her. Anyway. I think that was also like on Facebook. So I was trying to think like, oh, I wish I could find like some of those messages. But I think she had originally messaged me on Facebook. And then, you know, I guess I gave her my number. I'm not entirely sure. You know, because that's the thing. When you're searching for validation, because there was such like a, I don't know, I felt like some of the people in my life knew how bad it was being with my ex-husband. And then there's some people who didn't really, you know, see it the way that I had saw it. So me speaking to this woman and knowing that her daughter, you know, she felt her daughter was going through something similar was just the validation I needed. Because you question yourself a lot. You second guess yourself. You're like, well, you know, am I making a bigger deal out of XYZ than I should be or whatever? And no, I mean, fast forward to that Valentine's era, and I was so relieved in like a way that I felt bad, of course, for the woman, but I felt really great that I got out of that situation. It was like a little token of something from the universe letting me know that I had done absolutely the right thing, even if I already, you know, let's say I knew that already. It was just in concrete from somebody that I'd never met, but somebody who was now part of this man's life because her daughter's involved. So But then, you know, they had children, and what can you do after that once kids are involved? So, yeah, I wish them well. Truly, I wish them well. They're a family. I don't want anything bad to happen. So that's, and that was kind of, I think, my point to the mom after a while was like, look, they're a family. Like, I cannot hold on to this anymore. I just can't. Cannot. Maybe we should. No, actually, I mean, I kind of do want to end this here, but yeah. As I was just gonna say, that there's, I'm really grateful for how things have, how Keith and I have handled things. It's a very mature perspective. We have been, you know, we're still, of course, friendly towards one another. There's no reason not to be. There's no animosity. There's a lot of love still there. So that's very awesome because I've had a lot of past relationships end where it is so not that way. And there's no closure. There's no, it's just kind of abrupt. And that's always really, really painful in my mind. I mean, going back when Seth and I broke up fall of 2017, he took zero accountability, did not say that it was him being unfaithful at all. It was basically a whole speech on all the shit that's wrong with me, or quote unquote. And I remember my friend Chloe really helped me through that time because she was like, you can't believe all these things. Like, he didn't bring these things up to you during the relationship, then like fucking ignore it. Like, it doesn't mean anything. Like, it's just all bullshit. And she had a really good point. It was all a bunch of bullshit because then when I found out, you know, that Valentine's 2018 from his ex-girlfriend Sasha, that he had slept with her June 2017 and he had slept with her again some other time. And I was just like, and I could actually pinpoint it in my mind the night when, because Seth and I lived together, I could pinpoint it the night that he had left our apartment and went and had his little extra fun and then came back the next day. And I shit you not, I literally looked at him in the face and I said, for all I know, you are out fucking Sasha. So yeah, trust your gut instinct. That's my gut instinct has helped me out so much. I mean, in the moment, you have your gut and you're like, oh, well, that's, you know, okay, that's there. But then for me, it's usually later down the line when I keep using the word validated. I need another word. It's like confirmed that what I was feeling and experiencing that past June, it's like, yeah, that was the night that Sasha picked him up from our place or whatever when we were in a fight and he didn't come back till the next morning. And yeah, I just remember that being so crazy when she told me and confirming that was the same night, and I just knew. And then going all these months later, I mean, and he and I were still together from June 2017 to November 2017. We were together for what was that, 5 months? Yeah. Ew, like someone can stay next to you for 5 months and like not feel the need to, what's wrong with people? That's just, that's fucked up. That's pretty messed up that somebody can do that. And what I gathered of why she, this was my story that I made up in my mind just for fun, as to why she had reached out to me when she did. Because it's like, why are you reaching out to me on Valentine's Day? Like what? But the story I made up in my head was that I bet you he had plans, or she wanted to hang out with him and he like blew her off and was like, no, I don't want to hang out with you, or okay, this is a really sad story I'm making up. I mean, sad in the sense of how I'm telling it. It's like not that great of a story, but this is where my mind went, was that she wanted to hang out with him and he was like, nah, fuck you, bitch. I don't want to hang out with you, because that he was like on and off with her from high school. And they, yeah, like so since like 2012, they had been on and off, and we were in year 2017 at this point. No, 2018 at the Valentine's, excuse me. So a long time, all right, just a long time. And I'm assuming Seth was like, yeah, no, fuck you, I don't want to be around you tonight, whatever. And so she was like, oh, really? Okay, well, then I'm gonna go ahead and message Megan and tell her all the things you did. Oh my God, that's so crazy. It's so crazy how you can unlock memories by retelling, by like telling something. So that was a story I had made up, but now by me, that just triggered also. when Sasha and I then were talking, I straight up asked her, well, why are you telling me now? Like, what made you want to tell me all of this now? This is what she told me. I cannot believe I forgot this. And I seriously was reminded by my fake ass story I was that I had made up. But she told me that she like jokingly like messaged Seth being like, oh, I told Megan, or I said something like that. And I guess he like attacked her and like, I don't know, verbally, and was like, fuck you, and like said all this like mean shit. And that's when then she decided to tell me. Like, she hadn't actually told me, but his reaction and how he treated her, I don't know. So that's interesting. It's like, why are you playing with somebody? I mean, that's just it. She probably was doing that to get a rise out of him because she wanted to hang out with him. That's where I think it was going in my mind, like, of making something up. And whenever her Valentine's didn't go her way, she's like, all right, yeah, I am going to go and tell your ex-girlfriend. And that she did. I have a picture of me. It came up on my memories yesterday. I have a picture of me. I look kind of drunk, not going to lie. I'll post it, though. And you could tell that my eyes were crying. But then, you know, whenever like you're crying over something and then like you get over it really quick because you're like, I'm way better than this shit. I'm not going to cry over it. Like, where you go from being sad to just like, you're going to channel that anger into like, you know, like, I'm just so much better than this. Like, I don't even need this in my life. So, yeah, that's that. That's a long-winded story there. But yeah, life is crazy, I tell you. So I actually really enjoyed my Valentine's this year of nobody hitting me up about past infidelities. So fast forward then to March of 2018, Seth had emailed me basically letting me know that he knew, letting me know that he had known that I knew that he was unfaithful. Does that make sense? Like, he just wanted to let me know because I didn't tell him anything. I did. It's not like I reached out to him like, oh, fuck you, I can't believe you did this. No, I just stayed silent and was like, this is what has nothing to do with me anymore. It's not my problem. It's like, yeah, he cheated on me, but it's not because of, it's his issue. It has nothing to fucking do with me. You know, he had an issue of drinking way too much, blacking out, and, you know, whatever. And that's in sticking his dick in places it shouldn't go. And that's, sorry, that was disgusting to say, but like, that's not my issue. I don't need to burden somebody with that months after we broke up. So yeah, I mean, we did an email exchange back and forth a few times, but I mean, I just think that's funny. It's like, yeah, I just, PSA announcement, people always find shit out. Let's just, if you don't know that, people always find out, okay? Even if it's the most simple, basic thing, just get in front of it. Like, honestly, just tell that person what happened. Or if you don't, you just look like a huge asshole because they're going to find out regardless. They might find out years later. They might find out days later, but they're going to fucking find out. People always find out. And on that note, we're going to end it because, yeah, even just last week, there was something that happened with an ex of mine. And I was like, and I found out and I was like, see, you always find out stuff. You just always do. So don't worry. All right. Information will come to you. You don't need to go to it. And on that note, I think I've said that four times. We're going to end. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you soon.